everyone, welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan, because most of us are just regular people who love the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. I hope you had a good Easter yesterday if you celebrated. We are continuing on with Women in Horror, even though March is over, and I'm so excited to share my conversation with Diane Foster, the director and star of a new horror comedy called Easter Bloody Easter. Diane and I chatted about the inspiration for Easter Bloody Easter, how she became a horror fan, and what it was like on set during their shoot in LA. We also talked about what her favorite horror franchise is and who her favorite female horror directors are. If you want to join our Patreon, click the link in the show notes, and for as little as $1 a month, you'll get access to early episodes, a monthly newsletter, and more. I'd love to have you over there. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen, and let's get into my conversation with Diane Foster. Hey, Diane, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. Do you want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and why you're here?
Sure. So I am Diane Foster. I am the founder of Wally Bird Productions, and I'm here today to talk all things horror and Easter Bloody Easter.
Amazing. I can't wait to talk about it. But first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Ooh, that's so hard. There's so many. I'm going to have to probably, well, there's a few. I have two. One's kind of weird, maybe. So I love all the Nightmare on Elm Streets. Freddy was definitely my favorite. He terrified me so much. And so I love all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. And then I love Italian horror. So I love Suspiria. Oh. I know that's so strange. And people are always like, really? And I'm like, yeah, because it's so frightening. Like, keeps you up at night.
Oh, that's amazing. That's such a range from Freddy to Suspiria. I love it. How did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
So I'll tell you, I really didn't fall in love as a child because I think my family wasn't really like into horror. So I didn't really get exposed to it until I would say like maybe middle school, high school. That's when, you know, I started watching films in the horror genre because of my friends. They were like, you have to see this film. I can't believe you haven't seen it. And then really, like, once I started making horror films is really like when I got into it. I'm a bit of a scaredy cat. So I tend to go toward, you know, definitely more of the horror comedies. You know, I love Shaun of the Dead and films like that take, you know, the horror genre and kind of spin it on its head a bit and have the laughter and all of that be the thing that is at the forefront. But I really love all kinds of different, you know, films. And over the years, going to horror conventions and meeting horror fans and things like that, I've gotten to meet some like incredible legends of, you know, different films, from The Exorcist to Last House on the Left, like the people who've made those films and were in them. And that's always exciting, like as a filmmaker yourself, getting to meet the people who made those films. I'm always like fangirling all the time.
I love it. Who has been your favorite person that you've met at one of those conventions?
My favorite person is John Massari, who is the composer of Killer Clowns from Outer Space. He is such a genuine, amazing person inside and out. He came to the premiere of Easter Bloody Easter last Thursday. And that was like, I think, one of the most amazing moments. He has now since become a friend. And he's legendary. And just to have him there was a real dream come true. He's a really good person and so, so talented. So yeah, he's my fave. Shout out to John.
Oh, amazing. I've never watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but maybe I will go listen to the score just to see what it's like, or maybe I'll watch the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Watch the movie because it's so fun and awesome. I mean, it's, you know, it's a classic, so.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you love horror comedies can be seen in your new movie, Easter Bloody Easter. You're here to talk about your newest a feature-length film, and it is available to rent on VOD. Can you tell everyone a little bit about it and where you got the inspiration for the story from?
Sure. Yeah, really excited that we're releasing. You know, you're going to be able to check it out on lots of different platforms. So, you know, stay tuned for that. You know, really, it came from working with both Alison Lobel, who is the writer, and Kelly Grant, who plays Carol in the film. And they are very dear friends of mine. And we come from a theater background. We did a lot of plays together. And one in particular we did was about three women who happened to be living in Texas. And it sort of follows their story. And we did that play in Los Angeles and San Francisco. And then the pandemic hit, and we couldn't do live theater anymore. So we had always wanted to make a film, but this sort of gave us an opportunity to take the story and sort of the characters that we really liked in this play and really spin it on its head. And Allison is such a quirky, like, funny, hilarious person. And she called me and said, I made you know, this script that we've been talking about. I made it at Texas with these three women, but I added a jackalope and demon bunnies, and it's at Easter. So I was like, great, let's make this. And when I read it, I loved it so much and just thought, you know, this is something that I feel that genre fans are going to really love. And there are certainly Easter films, but nothing quite like this in the genre. And I feel like I really wanted to make something that lots of people could see with their families and really just get into every single Easter and really have themselves a time. So it was a real joy to make the film, being able to work with everybody, you know, on the cast and crew. They really poured their heart and soul into it, and I'm just so excited for audiences to see it all over the world.
Oh, that's amazing. I come up from a theater background too. What was the play that you were doing?
So we did a play called Laundry and Bourbon from James McClure, and it is a comedy. It is a more of kind of a bit of a dark comedy, and it is a two-act play. The first act is the three women for Laundry and Bourbon, and the second act is called Lone Star for the three men, and it weaves their stories throughout. We really loved just working together, and we have such a trust with each other. So it just seemed so natural to want to take it now from, you know, going on stage to on screen.
How did the cast come together, and was it the plan from the beginning for you to star in it?
Yeah. So, yes, it always was, because that was sort of the setup of how we had it in the play, is that it was always, we had different, you know, character names, and it's loosely based. It's not, you know, the play is like a totally different thing. The characters go through completely different things, but it was always set up these three women. So I have been acting forever and ever, and this really gave me an opportunity to, you know, take Jeannie and really get into her story and, you know, share what a woman in the real world goes through. And working with the cast was incredible. A lot of the people that are cast in the film, I did know prior, or I have worked with before. There are several, though, that we did, you know, hire through casting. You know, we did the casting ourselves because we're an indie film, and we just put out a breakdown, and people, you know, put themselves on tape. Specifically, DeAndre Noir, who plays my husband in the film, he just was so amazing on tape. And I was like, this guy is incredible, and I really want to work with him. So we got an incredible cast. It's very much an ensemble film. And, you know, all of the players have a really need to be there in order for this story to tell itself. And we spent a lot of time in rehearsals prior to ever shooting. It was really important for me as the director and the actress to be able to trust that everything that we were doing before I even stepped foot on set, that we had that going, we had a vernacular going with each other, that we had all of that trust so that we could really play once we got onto set. So we spent a lot of time in rehearsal, and it was such a joy to work with every single one of them. They're supremely talented and really brought their own like uniqueness to the characters. Like, you really know who these characters are between what they're bringing as the actor, the costumes, all that stuff. Like, they are who they are.
Were there any horror movies that served as inspiration while you were directing this or preparing to direct it?
Yeah, definitely for me, for sure. So A few that come to mind is definitely Rocky Horror Picture Show was, a major inspiration. Nightmare on Elm Street, specifically with some of the dream stuff that really, was stuff that I was truly inspired by as a filmmaker. Gremlins, I was a huge Gremlin fans growing up. I had all the dolls, Gizmo and whatnot. So interestingly enough, I'm like, I guess my parents did allow me to watch that. But so those are sort of like some of the films that, I took inspiration from in the way that they visually told the stories and also just the way that they made you feel. And I was very much about that, like from the very beginning. For me, a story and anytime I'm going to tell something, it really comes from an emotional place because I feel like as humans, that's where we resonate so much. When we can say, I have felt that, or I know that person, or I can see myself. Those are the kinds of feelings that I want to evoke when I'm making a film. So that's really always where I start, is like from the emotional place. And those films always made me feel something. So it seemed natural to want to be inspired by that and bring it into Eastern.
Oh, that's super interesting. Now, you don't have a southern accent, so are you from Texas?
I totally am not. I am from the great state of New Jersey.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I got rid of my Jersey accent. My mom definitely has one, draw, Italy, Charlie, all that stuff. And you get rid of it as an actor because you cannot have that. So it was really fun to do this sort of East Texas accent. And everybody really, we definitely worked on dialect and making sure that we did it. And sometimes when we were on set, it was funny because all of us, none of us are from Texas. And we all had to have that accent. And sometimes we would be acting and somebody would kind of fall out of it. And we'd have to go like, oh, make sure you have that accent. Even in the edit room, there were some takes I couldn't use because, one of us was like, didn't have the accent. So it's something you have to certainly work on in the foundation and the pre-production phase before you even try to get on set. So that was really fun to do.
I loved the evil demon bunnies, and I really appreciate that you didn't do like CGI realistic looking bunnies, because it would have been harder to watch them get killed. So thank you for that.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm happy to hear that. And yeah, that was very intentional. I grew up, in the 80s and 90s, like watching practical effects on movies. So for me, I love that. I love when movies have practical effects. There's such a huge art to it. And we were so grateful to get Jesse Velez from Raptor House Effects create our demon bunnies. He was so excited about it. And, they were really specific and they had to have a very specific look. And I had told him about how much I loved Gremlins and how I wanted that approach to it and that feeling so that, they seemed like they were, that they were really on set with us and that wasn't something that we were putting in post. All of the horror elements, we did all of that practically. And we had a really great special effects team that was, mainly female, by the way, which is also very exciting. And they really killed it metaphorically and truly.
Amazing. I love to hear that it was an almost all female team. That's awesome. Have you ever seen a jackalope in real life? I hear they're terrifying.
I have never seen a jackalope in real life, but I would, I can only hope that at some point, my dream will come true of being in the forest and I will see a jackalope and who knows, maybe it'll look like the one that we created.
Oh my goodness. Well, hopefully it's nicer. What was filming this like? Where was it filmed? How long was the shoot?
So we shot in August of 2021, which seems like eons ago, and it is. It takes a long time to get a film, made and then in post and then actually out to audiences. We shot for 17 days, which was also wild. They were, pretty much 12-hour days. We did 6 days a week, so Monday through Saturday. We shot for, all over the Los Angeles area, even though it takes place in Texas. It was mainly on private ranches that were in the Sun Valley area of Los Angeles. So it really lends itself to the Texas look. And we really, there were some moments in the film that you kind of see palm tree and stuff, but there are areas of Texas that do have that. So it wasn't like, oh, we can't see that palm tree. We just didn't make it really prevalent of like, you know, that this is California. And I think shooting on those private ranches, it really afforded us the opportunity to create the world of Wahlberg, Texas. And that was so important of creating the town, because I was like, you know, a lot of times with independent film, sometimes it's like, well, does anybody else live there? And, you know, we needed to fill that world up with people, especially during the Easter Palooza, when things go absolutely chaotic, that we had enough people. And that those days were really crazy because we had over 100 people on set. You know, so just managing that amount of people was, you know, production in itself.
And your premiere was last week. What was that like?
Oh man, a dream come true. It was so cool to see it on the big screen with the cast and crew, you know, getting dressed up and just feeling glamorous. It was those are the moments that, you know, all of the hard work and the long hours and, you know, just fighting for it to be made. That's when you get to really celebrate. And getting to do that with the whole cast and crew and having everybody see their hard work on the big screen was my favorite moment. And they just loved it. And just hearing the audience's reactions also too was like, wow, that's so cool. So yeah, it was a real dream come true and sort of like a pinch me moment, like a fairy tale.
That's amazing. Yeah, it was really fun to watch, even on my small screen. And Easter is a holiday where there's really not any horror movies dedicated to it. So this is a welcome addition to the horror genre in holidays. Have you ever been to an Easter Palooza in real life?
No, I have not ever been to an Easter Palooza. I have definitely been to church related functions that are, you know, try to do the egg hunts and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, toss the egg, you know, egg on a spoon, potato sack races, all that kind of stuff. I definitely did that as a kid, and I wanted sort of that feeling. And it was exciting because we knew that there wasn't a lot of holiday horror, you know, fare for this particular holiday. And that was honestly and truly we were very aware of it. And we wanted to make a film that was about this holiday so that people could enjoy something. You have something for pretty much every other holiday. So we were like, you know, this is so fun. We're kind of in our own lane, specifically with this comedy horror. And I want to make sure people that know that it is very comedic. And then that's what they're in for, you know, these zany, wild, and very campy characters.
Speaking of other holiday horror movies, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, probably Halloween. I mean, you know, it's the classic. Yeah. And I just think it has been such a, you know, legendary stamp for not only, you know, the genre, but also just film in general. It really, you know, all these years, I think, has just continued to come back and breathe more life into that film. So I think that's a testament to the filmmakers, obviously, and then more importantly, genre fans who are at the heart of everything. I love horror fans. They're the best fans on planet Earth. So
I agree. Great. If you could remake one holiday horror film, which one would it be?
Ooh, that is a great question. If I could remake a holiday horror film. Oh man, that's tough. I would have to say maybe Halloween. I would put my hand in the basket for Halloween. That would be incredible. There's never been a female telling that story. So that I know of. So that would be pretty cool.
Yeah,
actually. Oh,
definitely. Yeah. I think there's only been one woman to ever direct any one of the big three. So that would definitely be welcomed. Do you have any plans for your next film?
Yes. So we're going to definitely make another, Easter movie.
Oh, amazing.
We're going to continue the story. That's Easter, Bloodier Easter. And I love films that are a continuation of and kind of, you know, they begin where you left off. So we're definitely going to do that. It's in development right now. We have been working on the script. We also really loved working together. So I think it's more about that opportunity that we get to do that with each other is like, we just all want to be working together again. And if you died in the first one, hopefully we'll bring you back in the second one in some capacity, maybe as a different character. But I have that going on. And then I'm a big musical theater nerd, and I am making a movie musical that I'm directing. I am not in the film at all as an actor. I'm just directing this one. And it's called SAT, the movie musical, Stupid Ass Test. And it is about the SATs and, kids in high school and sort of that whole world. It's very funny, and the music is fantastic. All the music has already been done and written, so we're looking forward to getting into that. And then I have another film that is a comedy, and it's a female comedy. It's very much like A La Bridesmaids. It's about three women and their experience. I am acting in that and producing it, and it's called Got Daddy Issues.
Oh, those sound amazing. I can't wait to see it. I'm also a musical theater nerd, even though I'm not a performer. But yeah. Oh, I love that.
I say you gotta love musicals,
Oh.
I love them so much. They take you away, and all the troubles in the world just disappear.
Why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre? Because we were talking about how nice horror movie fans are.
That's so true. I think because horror is a genre that allows you to take risks, and it allows you to go places that other genres really don't. It allows an imagination. And I think part of us as humans, the idea of being scared or that fear element or, the blood and the guts, that kind of stuff is very primal. And I think that is what's so exciting about the genre and why horror fans sort of tend to go to it. Because for, again, I think it goes back to like the human emotion of things. It's like you can almost see yourself, or you can imagine what that would be like. And I think that that's something that's exciting for people, and why there are so many horror fans, and why, they gravitate to those types of films.
What scares you in horror movies today?
So I'm not scared usually of like, I don't get scared at like blood and guts. As a matter of fact, I love that stuff. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that's so cool. Like, I'll definitely jump and I'll cover my eyes and I'll be like, ee! But I think that's fun and kind of crazy and kooky. I think the stuff that gets me is like the haunting movies, like the ghost movies. Those really get me. Like, I cannot watch that. Like, I could not watch it by myself. Like, I will literally be a little kid under a blanket. Like, no. It's not happening. Like any kind of haunting movies or super paranormal, those kinds of things. I'm like, oh, no. I can't. I'm so scared.
Yeah, I love those movies, but they do freak me out. And I've never wanted to like see a ghost or experience anything paranormal because I'm just like, I don't need that.
Totally. That's why, like, that for me is like very much like it's a no because I'm so scared. Whereas, like, I love like slasher films because I'm like always rooting for the bad guy to kill the people that need to be killed. I'm like, they deserve it and they need to be killed.
Oh, I love it. So, what is your favorite subgenre in horror?
I guess I would say definitely comedy horror. Like, I'm somebody who likes comedy, period. Like, I just love comedy films. So any, Tucker and Dale versus Evil, Shaun of the Dead, like I love those type of films that are just wacky, and they're as much horror as they are comedy, but the comedy elements make it so much fun, and I just love to laugh. And I love laughing with others, and I love creating that myself. So I think that I tend to go toward those types of movies if I'm gonna choose one. I'll always like pick the horror comedy.
Have you seen Willy's Wonderland?
No.
Oh, you need to rent that. It's a great horror comedy. It's with
Okay, Willy's Wonderland.
Nick Cage. He has to clean up like a old Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay, I love
Yeah.
it. I'm in.
It's so great. Who would you say are your favorite horror directors?
Ooh, I like that. Definitely Mr. Wes Craven, obviously. You know, I'm trying to support more female directors and more female filmmakers. I feel like there's not enough of us out there, just in general, not even just in this genre, but like, you know, all over. You know, Karen Kusama is one who's really amazing. I hope I'm saying her name properly. I really love her. I would say, like, also just in terms of like writing and stuff, Mary Shelley is certainly, you know, one legendary. And I think, though, you know, any women who have come before are like paving the way for people like me and then, you know, beyond me. And that's just exciting of being able to see more females directing horror, because I just don't think we're really given those opportunities. Even with, that's why I was bringing up earlier, like, even those like huge slasher films and stuff, it would be really great to see those films done from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, I agree. We need more women in horror overall. What horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2024?
Well, obviously my own Easter Bloody Easter. I don't know a lot of films that are coming out. There is a film that looks kind of funny. It's like about a teddy bear. I think it's called Imaginary. That looks kind of funny and kooky. I haven't seen that yet, but I would like to see that. But to be totally honest with you, when you are releasing a film, like, I haven't really done much except be on my computer and my phone. I mean, it's so much. There's so much coming at you. So I'm actually looking forward to probably sometime in the summertime, I'll actually be able to get like back to the movies and finally, you know, support other filmmakers. I love supporting, you know, filmmakers as much as I can, and I definitely go to the movies because I feel like those are the things that we can do, or I'll rent, you know, or buy films and definitely support. So I hope everyone does the same, you know.
Amazing. Well, this has been so great. My last question is if you could go back in time and see one horror movie when it was first released with an audience, which one would it be?
Oh, I would say probably, that is so tough. These are such great questions. Okay, I'm going to pick two because I have to. I would say The Exorcist for sure, just because, wow. And then I would have to say the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I think that that was probably just so cool to see for the first time, like on screen. And Robert Englund is like, you know, a genius. So, yeah, I would have been terrified then and now.
Those are great answers. Thank you so much for chatting with me. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and Easter Bloody Easter?
Yes, absolutely. Come say hello on social media. I am Diane Foster Official on Instagram and Facebook. You can check out my company, Wally Bird Productions. We're at wallybirdproductions.com. And you can also come say hello at Wally Bird Productions on Instagram and on YouTube. And please DM me and feel free to comment and talk, because I love getting to know people and I will absolutely answer you back.
Amazing. I will leave links to all that in the show notes. And thank you again. Best of luck with the reception of Easter Bloody Easter. I know it's going to be awesome.
Thank you so much for taking the time today. You are so awesome, and I really appreciated your questions. They were great.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Diane Foster, and thanks again to Diane for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find her and where you can rent Easter Bloody Easter on VOD in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon, and if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.